Today I'm continuing a series called Discovering Jesus. This is part three. Part one, we looked at Jesus, our Redeemer. Part two, we looked at Jesus' name above all names. And today we're looking at the compassionate Jesus. You know, everything we see from God actually is based upon Jesus and his act on Calvary's Hill. You know, sometimes it's just good to go back to the basics, back to square one. Actually, everything that we receive is because of Jesus. Today I want to begin by looking back in the Old Testament at one of the characteristics of God, which were displayed in the New Testament through Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." In other words, he was a replica of the Father God. Let's look at Psalms 145, verse number 8 and 9. Psalms 145, 8 and 9. "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." Now, as we look at this, we see that this verse shows us that God is gracious and he is compassionate. He's slow to anger, but he has grace and compassion. He has great mercy. He is good to all because of that mercy and that grace and that compassion. Now, let's fast forward to the New Testament. Compassion was one of the most outstanding characteristics in the life of Jesus' early ministry. Now, you realize, and this is what some people don't realize, Jesus lived as a man, a human being, for 33 or 33 and a half years, whichever chronological report you want to go along with. But he, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he changed and became the Lamb of God that shed his life on Calvary. Now, I don't have the time to go into all the theological stuff about the Old Testament with the scapegoat and the lamb that was slaughtered and the blood that was taken into the Ark of the Covenant, and then how Jesus' blood became the supreme sacrifice for mankind for our deliverance from sin, sickness, and disease. In Matthew 9:36 and Mark 6:33, he was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion for the lost. In Matthew 15:32 and Mark 8:2, he had compassion on the multitude when they had nothing to eat. In Matthew 20:30-34, he had compassion on two blind men and healed them. In Mark 5:19, he had compassion on the madman of Gadara, and he delivered him from the evil spirits. In Luke 7:13, he had compassion on the widow whose son had died and raised him from the dead. Now, the word compassion in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, actually, that word is showing the compassion of God, and it is an unchanging characteristic. He is still the same compassionate God as in the Old Testament as he was in the New Testament, represented to us through the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, as we begin to take a closer look at Jesus in the Gospels, and how he responded, we realize that he is just doing what the Father would do. And we realize that that same compassion is for us today as we follow God. That same compassion. In Matthew 14:13, it says, when Jesus heard it, he's talking about when John the Baptist was killed, he departed from there by boat to a desert place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Now, this incident took place right after Jesus had gotten the word that John the Baptist had been beheaded. Remember, John the Baptist was the forerunner or the foreteller of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was the one that baptized him in the River Jordan, and the dove came down representing the Holy Spirit, and the voice thundered out of heaven that this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Also, if you will study, you will find out that John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. So now he had heard that he had been beheaded, and so he drew aside to a desert place, but the people followed him, and when he saw them, he was moved with compassion. You know, in the natural, he might not have felt like healing the sick at that particular moment. Yet, the love of God in Jesus moved him to compassion for the people. Here we see the attitude of God the Father toward the man, and I use that word as a neutral gender term, meaning mankind, that he had created. We see through this his love displayed for humanity. The great English minister Charles Spurgeon said this: if you would sum up the whole character of Christ in reference to ourselves, it might be gathered into one sentence: he was moved with compassion. This means, however Jesus responded to the people on earth is how God the Father would respond. And that is how he will respond to us today, because he is a loving, compassionate Father. He desires to help humanity that he created. Now, this is just not one isolated incident in the life of Jesus. If we look at Mark's gospel, Mark 1. Now the leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, here it is again, stretched out his hand, touched him and said, I'm willing, be clean. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Notice the question here that the leper had was in Jesus' willingness to heal him. And actually, you can see it here. If you're willing, you can make me clean. And immediately, Jesus was moved with compassion. And he assured him, yeah, I will heal you. I will touch you. This incident, though, shows that we, and the Bible teaches this, that we ask him and he will respond. Some people say, well, he knows what I need. He can give it to me. Yeah, that's true. But the Word of God says, ask and you shall receive. That's what the Bible says. In this case, it means the man received healing. But in our case, it means that God is willing to give to us whatever we ask. Jesus said in John, up until now, you've asked nothing in my name. And that was just before he was going to be crucified. He said, but if you will ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Notice, as we have been talking about this, Jesus was moved to minister and to help those that came to him because of compassion. You know, we need to allow compassion to be in our lives as we live our life for Christ down here. I want you to notice that compassion just didn't have Jesus sympathizing with the man. Compassion led him to do something. And because we live in a world where there's many, many needs and many people are in need, we should be moved with compassion to help them when possible. You know, I never drive by if I see an accident or something going on. I never drive by that without having compassion, and I start to pray for the situation and for the people that are involved in the situation. That's what compassion is. You know, we are supposed to be, according to the Word of God, we're called the children of God. Well, children most of the time act like their parents. Well, one of the main characteristics of Father God is that he is compassionate. He reaches out to help. I see lots of things, and I give sometimes because I see somebody in need. I give to them. My wife has something she calls her blessing purse. And, blessing pot, yeah. Thank you, I needed that. That's what the Bible says, a wife is a helpmate. And she uses that to bless people when she sees a need. I myself do that. I was just, I think it was at the racetrack, not this week, maybe last week, with Cameron Racing. And one of the guys I was going to the concession stand, and a guy stopped me and said, hey, Pastor, I'm not their pastor, but everybody in the pits to races, they call me Pastor. And he motioned for me to come over, and he said, would you pray for me? And he told me, sure. I didn't make a big deal about it. I just was shaking hands with him, so I just held his hand and prayed for him. I could have said, well, you know, this is not the place. When there's an opportunity, you should have compassion that would reach out to minister. Come on, that's what Jesus did. See, we're discovering Jesus. You know, we talk about his death, burial, and resurrection, which is great because without death, there's no remission from sin. But do you really understand who Jesus really was? He lived on this earth as a man for 33 years. And the Word of God says he was tempted like we are and so forth and so on, but he did not yield to that. Now, God is moved toward compassion with us today. This is our time to understand that the supreme act of love and compassion toward humanity was seen when God allowed his Son to become the supreme sacrifice. You see, we have to understand, and people don't always understand this fully. God created Adam and Eve. He walked and he talked with them personally in the garden. But when they were deceived by Satan, and you got to go all the way back into Isaiah, and you see that Satan was probably an archangel. He was probably in charge of the music, and he led a coup, and a third of the angels went with him, and they were going to kick God out and take over. And God said, no, you're not, and he kicked all them out, kicked them down. It's in Isaiah, you see it there where it says, they saw him falling as lightning from the sky. And now, and Paul says it, 2 Corinthians 4:4, says that the devil became the god of this world. At that time, Adam had control of everything in the world. But the devil got control of it. And you can see this because he told Jesus in his temptation, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all this. How could he give it to him if he didn't have any control of it? And Paul said, the devil was the god of this world. Now, spiritually, we have been redeemed and we have fellowship and communion with God through prayer because we have been reunited with him. The Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but we weren't dead. We were breathing. That's talking about spiritual death. Spiritually, we were annihilated from God. But through the acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There's an old song. I love that old song. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. You see, we sometimes don't have the whole picture of who Jesus really was, what he really did, what he really accomplished. In 1 John 4:9, it says, God showed, I'm reading NLT, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. It's because of the love and compassion that God had, that Jesus had in accepting the role to become the supreme sacrifice for salvation, healing, deliverance, provision, safety. All that we receive from God through his word is because of his compassion. Everything God does is based upon his love and compassion for the human that he created. Everything is made available to us because of his compassion. Christ's death, burial on Calvary, his resurrection, his ascending and sitting at the right hand of the Father paved the way for humanity to once again be connected with God spiritually. One of these days, and I'll talk about that next time in the fourth part, Jesus the coming King. Because of his sacrifice at Calvary. You see, under the Mosaic law in the Old Testament, going all the way back to when the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt. And if you study types and shadows, like you have, Egypt was a type of sin in the types and shadows. As they were traveling from Egypt to the promised land, Moses built a tabernacle in the wilderness. They built an ark. They called it the Ark of the Covenant. In that is where, and that set in the, there was the outer area of the tabernacle, there was the Holy of Holies, and that's where the power of God resided. But when Jesus, hanging suspended between heaven and earth, with the nails in his hands and his feet, his side punctured with the sword, with the spear, he looked up to heaven and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He drew one last breath. His head slumped to his chest. And at that moment, there was an earthquake. There was blackness. There was darkness upon the earth. But that temple, then that temple, where in the Solomon's temple that he had built, where that ark was setting, where the power of God resided. That curtain was about 3 feet tall, and I think 3 feet wide, I think, at about 20 feet tall, something like that. It was split from top to bottom. And God said, no more. Well, my presence rests in a house of brick and stone. But my presence will rest in the mankind that I created. And Paul says in his writings, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? But it's because of what Jesus did, because of his compassion and God's compassion, that you and I have the opportunity today to enjoy life and that more abundantly. Like it says in John 10:10, Jesus said, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank God. We can have abundant life because of the compassion of Jesus Christ. You know, how much we say that God is love and that Jesus loved us and gave his life for us. How much does the love of God. What? How is it? What is it? It's higher than any mountain or anything you can think about. It goes lower than the lowest valley. There is not a place that the love of God will not reach down and touch humanity. If humanity will reach its hand toward God, God will reach his hand toward you and lift you up. God's love goes farther than anything we can even think about. His compassion goes deeper than the deepest ocean. The song says, his love, if the sky was of parchment made, and every man on earth or every person on earth hand was a quill, to write the love of God, it couldn't be accomplished. That's how much God loves you. God loved me. God loved the world that he created. When he stood on the thresholds of heaven itself and said, let there be, reading from Genesis, let there be and there was. Let there be light and there was. Let there be land and there was. Let there be waters and there was. That same God, with his compassion today, is saying, let there be salvation. Let there be healing. Let there be help. Let there be protection for the man that I created. A very familiar scripture that most everybody knows. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the compassion of God. You know, as we look at this today, as we lay hold of the promises of God in this Bible. Somebody said to me one time, they said it to my dad, and I got this from him when the guy said it to me. Well, God never talks to me. I said, well, you never read the Bible then. Because this is God talking right here. If we lay hold of the promises of God, he will save you. He will protect you. He will meet your needs. You know, as I'm speaking here today for just a few moments, there are people that are under the sound of my voice, either in this building or watching online, who really know it, need to know that God loves them and he has compassion on them. Many listening to me today have gone and are going through rough times. But the compassion of God stands ready to minister to you and to help you. All you have to do is believe what the Bible says and ask him to help you. You see, God's already done everything he's going to do to help his person that he created. Now it's up to us to say, I believe and receive. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, simply talk to these people for a few moments today to remind them of your compassion and your love through Jesus, the compassionate one. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that needs to accept you as their Savior, or that needs to just rededicate their life, they know that they're not where they should be, or anyone that needs anything else, help them to be able to reach up and say, I believe. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this congregation you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or if you have and you know that you're not where you should be, and you need to rededicate your life, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you, but I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So if that's you, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life to God, would you simply just raise your hand wherever you're at so that I can, there's a hand over here, I see that hand. Upstairs in the balcony or downstairs, there's hands over here. Are there any others that will raise their hand? Everybody stand, please. I'm going to go right down front. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I ask you please to come right down here so I can pray with you like I said I would. Come on, right now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on now. If you're in the balcony, right here, man. Bless you,
Jesus is waiting.
If you're in the balcony, ushers will help you get down here. Come on down. Come on down. This is your time to change your life forever. Right here, man. God bless you, buddy. You can stand with him. Go right ahead. Come on, young. Stand right here. God bless you. Stand behind him. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. This is your time. Change your life forever.
Jesus.
Anybody coming from the balcony? No, they give me no sign. I'm going to wait just a moment. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out. Come down here now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. You guys that are here, look in my direction. I got two little books in my hand, one called New Birth, you can see them, one called In Him. New Birth tells you about salvation. In Him tells you what you have in Christ, in Jesus. If I said I was going to give these to you and I reach them out like that, what you got to do to get it? Well, show me. There you go, you got them, they're yours. You're saying people are going to get those same books in just a moment. That's simply an exercise I do. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing that you come to receive. It comes from heaven on high. So just as he reached his hands out, I want you to reach one hand up. I don't care which one. And with that hand, that's an act of saying, okay, God, I'm reaching up to get what I came down here for. Congregation, would you reach your hands out toward him as I pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met. Salvation, rededication, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand down and look at me. I want to ask you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth and get these books, these two that didn't. You see Greg right there, he's in charge of our prayer room, we call it today. Would you just follow him to that special place? Go with her. That special place of prayer. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about right there. Thank you, Jesus. If you're watching online and you need to accept Christ or you need to rededicate your life, I want you to repeat this prayer after me with this congregation right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. I believe he died for my sins. You said in your holy word that if I would believe that in my heart and confess that with my mouth, I would be saved. I'm confessing it with my mouth, and you hear me saying it, and I thank you now. I am that new person in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, there's information on the screen where you can contact us. We would ask you to do that. Praise the Lord. Well, did anybody get anything out of this morning? Hallelujah. Well, Connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them to the lobby. We're so glad you chose to be with us today. If you're looking for a church home, won't we say church? Welcome home. You found it right here. In the lobby, you'll find that we have a special gift for you. Thank you for being with us today. Tonight, 6 o'clock right here. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Hour of Power, 78. Staff, you can go to the door so we can shake hands with you. I'm going to be at North today. There's where everybody else and all the other staff are going to be. We got four lobbies, so we rotate, so we try to bless you. We'll see you tonight. Also, remember, I got to get down that aisle. They're going to sing a song, and then you're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today.